Listening to the Essentials podcast here on the BMG Network. I am your host, Maddie Flint. Welcome and welcome back, everyone. This episode is going to be centered on stress, and I'm going to give you content on relief, how we can manage stress, how we can reduce stress, and a little bit on the neurobiology behind it, too. I hope that you guys can get some beneficial takeaways from this. So, yeah, let's get into it. Stress is not fun, is a very common experience. Stress can be defined as the feeling of being overwhelmed or unable to cope with mental or emotional pressure. It can have mental and physical consequences, like side effects, too. And before I jump into the neurobiology section of this episode, I am just going to tell you guys all right now, no matter what you're doing, to relax your shoulders completely. Let them droop. I forget to do that sometimes, and my neck will be like really tense, or my shoulders, and it is usually because I'm stressing over something and I don't even know that my shoulders are tensed up. So while you're sitting or driving or standing or whatever it is that you're doing right now, relax your shoulders and take a couple really good deep breaths in and out. Okay, so hopefully you were able to do that. I just did, and it already feels a little bit better. So, getting into the neurobiology part, and this is kind of exciting because the brain is so complex, there's always something new to learn about it, I feel like. So I have a web article from Momentous Institute that talks about all the brain functions that are involved when your body is under stress. So to begin, of course, the brain is the most complex organ in the human body. So what we're diving into is like a simplified version of the basic brain parts. So the brain stem is the lowest part of your brain that controls basic life functions like breathing, blood pressure, and heart rate, body temperature. So the brain stem is developed by birth, and it controls our life-sustaining functions. Then you have the midsection of your brain, and that is known as the limbic system, often referred to as the emotional control of the brain. So if something goes wrong with your limbic system, something is going to go wrong with the way that you process emotions. It does not apply any logic and does not have any real concept of time. Past, present, and future are all the same to the limbic system. And then the highest region of the brain is the prefrontal cortex, which controls logic and rational thought. It's the part of the brain that allows decision-making and complex thinking. And this is the last part of the brain to develop. And full development happens around the mid-20s. So that's why it is extremely outrageous that public schools would expect a kid at 15 to make choices that are going to determine where they want to be by the time they're in college, if they want to go to college, what they want to major in, and then by the time you graduate, everybody wants to know what you're going to do with yourself. And you're just a teenager. You can't even vote yet. You can't even get a drink at a bar legally yet. And if the reasoning behind why you can't do those things before you're 21 is that your brain isn't fully developed, then why expect an 18-year-old, a 17-year-old kid to know exactly how they're going to get through some adult situations that require some help? And this is especially why children's hospitals and public institutions like schools, like educational institutions, should not be pushing transgenderism on any of the students. Because biologically, they are not developed enough in their prefrontal cortex to be able to make mature, rational decisions on complex things. So everybody that believes the science should believe that too. Anyway, I just want to give a little overview on the limbic system itself, because I'm going to be talking about that a lot. And I do have a diagram pulled up, because those are fun, and I have illustrated my own before, just out of pure curiosity and intrigue. So this one is just on the limbic system, and I know this is an audio, so I'm going to try to verbalize this the best that I can so that you can visualize it. So think of the brain. It kind of looks like a walnut. This is a cross section, so it's just a half of the brain cut vertically down the middle. And this is the central part of the brain that we're focusing on. So there's a tiny little thing, kind of looks like a corn kernel, right at the bottom in the center of your brain, almost like connected to your brain stem, and that's called the amygdala. And then right underneath it, you have the temporal lobe. Then right above the amygdala, we have the basal nuclei, which is within the orbitofrontal cortex. So as we move up and towards the back of the brain, we're going to get closer to the medial prefrontal cortex. And then we're going to go a little bit deeper. So behind that, towards the center of the brain, is the corpus callosum, and that has a lot of very important roles. And then the portion of the brain that is the next layer above the corpus callosum is the cingulate gyrus, which is also very important in the limbic system because it helps regulate emotions and pain. And then we're going to move in a circular motion down and towards the center of the brain again. We have the fornix, we have the thalamic nuclei, we have the mammillary body, and the hippocampus. So all of these things together create the limbic system. Okay, so back to the amygdala. It is deep inside the brain. It is in charge of the fight, flight, or freeze reflex, and in one of its primary functions is to scan the environment and determine whether or not a certain stimulus is threatening, and then it will respond accordingly. For example, if you're standing on a busy street corner, the amygdala is hard at work protecting you from just walking into the street until the cars have passed. It's designed to serve as an alarm clock, warning you that there's danger, and then responding to that threat immediately by choosing to fight, flight, or freeze. So you'll either leave the dangerous environment, pause until the threat has passed, or respond to the threat. However, when you're experiencing a lot of stress, that amygdala stops functioning as an alarm, and it's more like a persistent alarm clock on snooze. So it's going to scan your environment and determine that almost everything is a threat. The logical part of the brain isn't in charge when we feel threatened. In fact, these upper regions of the brain essentially go offline. So that means that when that alarm clock is ringing every few minutes, it's interrupting our ability to think clearly. You may recognize some of these symptoms in yourself or somebody you're close to if they are under a lot of stress. Easily agitated, numb or detached, tired or lethargic, reactive or aggressive, isolated or withdrawn. And all of these symptoms are just reactions of fight, flight, or freeze responses from your brain. So we want to try to make sure that we're not over our limits, like super stressed out, super overwhelmed, as much as we can, because it's kind of inevitable that you're going to get stressed out by something here and there. The world never stops moving. So that's why there are so many other ways to manage or reduce your stress, and I'm going to talk about some of them right now. So the best way to reduce stress, and this may seem obvious, but it's kind of hard to do sometimes, is to just say no. That's it. Plain and simple. Trying to do everything is a one-way ticket to serious stress. Be clear about your limits and stop trying to please everyone all the time. The first step to stop doing everything at once is to just say no, because then you can start managing your time better. Try to eliminate as many sources of stress as you can. Avoid predictably stressful situations, again, if you can, because sometimes you can't avoid them. Try talking to somebody about your day. That could help manage the things that you're feeling overwhelmed by, because you might be able to get advice from this person, or it might be helpful because you're going to be more aware of what you're stressed over because you're verbalizing this feeling. In a way, it's making something that you're mentally stressing over a little bit more tangible, so you can like deal with it better that way. You can also ease stress by getting active. Physical activity can pump up your feel-good endorphins and other natural neurochemicals that can enhance your sense of well-being. Exercise can also refocus your mind on your body's movements, which can improve your mood and help the day's irritations fade away. Consider walking, jogging, gardening, house cleaning, biking, swimming, weightlifting, or anything else that gets you active. That's why, as a high school student, I always was taking part in athletics. I was a student athlete at every season of the school year, I'm pretty sure, or close to it. But it really does help you to refocus your mind if you are putting in energy to fulfill these little personal goals while you're working on your sport, while you're jogging, while you're weightlifting. And while you're exercising, you might be setting some personal goals or something, and when you achieve them, it's really motivating and it helps to reset your whole thought process so that you can deal with the stressors of the day a lot better. Another thing that you can do to ease stress is to improve your diet, because everything that we consume is going to have some kind of effect on our body. So for someone who is tired and is using caffeine as a way to combat sleepiness, you might be adding to how stressed out you are because of the negative effects that caffeine, or like too much caffeine, I should say, have on our body. So I just want to take a look at caffeine right now in the form of Monster energy drinks. A regular 16-ounce Monster has 160 milligrams of caffeine in it. And it's synthetic caffeine, so it is quickly absorbed into your body, and it gives you that boost of energy that you were craving. But it has severely dehydrated you and also sped up your heart rate. So we really don't want that. Instead, just limit the amount of caffeine that you take in, and I have to tell that to myself all the time. But another thing that we can try to reduce stress is to get enough sleep. That's like a huge thing that is simple to say. Sometimes it's not so simple to do, especially if you have a very busy schedule or trouble sleeping. But getting 7 to 8 hours of sleep, that can help so much. The quality and amount of sleep that you get can affect your mood, energy level, concentration level, and overall functioning. If you do have some sleep troubles, try to get yourself into a relaxing bedtime routine, like listen to soothing music, put your phones away, put your video games away, put clocks away, and try to stick to a consistent schedule. Another great way to manage stress is to keep a journal. Write down your thoughts and feelings, and that can be a great release for otherwise pent-up emotions. Don't even think about what you're writing, just let it happen. Write whatever comes to mind. And this also applies to doing art, I think, because I try to do art when I'm stressed out, and it does help a lot. Nobody else needs to read it or look at it if you don't want them to, especially if you're journaling, so don't strive for perfection in grammar or spelling even. Just let your thoughts flow on paper if you'd rather type it, let them flow over the computer screen, and once you're done, you can either throw it out or save it to reflect on for later. You can also seek counseling. That's a great option too. If new stressors are challenging your body to cope, or if self-care measures are not relieving your stress, you may want to look into reinforcements in the form of therapy or counseling. It's a great idea if you're feeling overwhelmed or trapped, if you worry excessively, or if you have trouble carrying out daily routines or meeting responsibilities at work, home, or school. Counselors and therapists are trained professionals, and they can help you identify these sources of stress and learn new coping tools. And if you try it and it's not for you, that's okay too. Because at least you gave it a try. And as for the last couple of things that I'm going to mention that can improve your well-being while under a lot of stress or ease your stress, you can try yoga if that's for you. Try to laugh more, because when you laugh, it not only lightens your mental load, but it also causes positive physical changes in your body. Laughter fires up and then cools down your stress response. So that's great. Watch a comedy if you like them. Hang out with your funny friends. There's even such thing as laughter yoga, which is weird, and I probably wouldn't try it. But if you want to, then that's also an option. And then whether you're not religious or you are, listening to scriptures be read out on YouTube is very relaxing. It's a great way to de-stress. Or if you have a physical Bible, read through it a little bit. You don't have to be looking for something very deep. You might just find yourself landing on some scriptures that are peaceful, uplifting, motivating, hopeful, and that can really be a comfort to you if you're feeling overwhelmed or alone. So with that, I'm going to wrap up this episode of The Essentials. I hope you guys enjoyed and are able to take something beneficial away from this episode. And as always, the listen is greatly appreciated. Thank you, and I will catch you guys back again next week.